As was announced, the scripture this evening is coming from Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. Again, that's Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. I'll read from the New American Standard Version. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up."
Good to be here tonight. Appreciate everyone's presence, as always. When someone obeys the gospel of Christ, it is, of course, one of the best decisions that he or she can ever make. But once an individual obeys the gospel, I think most of us realize that then the devil turns up the heat because he wants to get back what he has lost. And that's why you've heard me say several times that it is hard for an individual to obey the gospel and to remain faithful. And the cold reality is most people don't. The majority of people who obey the gospel end up going back to the world. And you don't have to take any kind of scientific survey to figure that out. And it's not me just being pessimistic. It just, all you have to do is think back of whatever congregation you're a member of, how many people obeyed the gospel, how many people were baptized through the years, and then you quickly come to realize that they're no longer here. And so that's because, again, the devil is alive and active, and he wants back what he lost. And so he attacks those who have obeyed the gospel. So there are three simple things that if you have recently obeyed the gospel that you should make a habit of, and the sooner the better. But before I mention these very simple fundamental things, that I got to thinking about them, and they're the same things that those of us who might be seasoned saints need to continue to do as well. So these are things that if we want to go to heaven after a while, all of us should be doing. It not only will help a babe in Christ not to fall from the faith, it will help all of us not to fall from the faith. And so three things that you ought to do. The first thing is make a habit of studying God's Word. And I know that's fundamental. And it's simple, but you might be surprised how many Christians even now, maybe several even here tonight, who don't make a habit of studying God's Word. Like, for a lot of individuals, the only time they open up the Bible is when we come to an assembly like this. Or maybe sporadically, you might even in the privacy of your own home from time to time study a certain subject that has come to your mind or whatever the case may be. But again, it's sporadic. But I'm saying to you that the sooner you make a habit of getting involved in a daily Bible study, that will go a long way in helping you to overcome the assaults of the devil. And so when babes in Christ, when they obey the gospel, if you have recently obeyed the gospel, if you just make a habit of doing that, you'll be stronger, you'll have more faith, and it will be a lot harder for the devil to recapture you. And we understand the power of God's Word. In Psalms 119, listen to what David said about the Word of God. At verse 11, a very simple and short verse, Psalms 119 and at verse 11. But this is what David, or the psalmist, whoever wrote this psalm, most think it's probably David. But anyway, this is what he discovered. He said at verse 11, "I have stored up your word in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against you." That's the power of the word of God. If you put that word in your mind, it's going to be very hard if you keep it there. Remember, Colossians 3 at verse 16, Paul talked about the word, allowing the word of Christ to dwell in your heart, your biblical heart, richly. And it's the dwelling there that's important. Like, it's not just hearing the word of God and then forgetting about it. Even when you come on a regular basis, you come to an assembly like this and hear regularly, that's not good enough. The word has to be planted in your mind and it has to dwell there. That's where the power is. And so the psalmist says that that's exactly what he was going to do. Notice, he's going to store up the word in his heart. And the very purpose of it was so that he wouldn't sin. I remember what John said over in 1 John chapter 3 about the power of God's word. And as I'm turning over there, just think. Go in and look at what Paul describes as the armor of God. And see how many pieces of the armor are either directly or indirectly related to the word. And you'll discover how important it is to study the Bible and to arm yourself with God's word. It is our greatest defense against Satan and sin. But here in 1 John chapter 3, notice, at drop down to about verse 7 or so. He said, "Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." So notice that if you will allow that word to dwell in your heart, in your mind, if you study regularly, again, making a habit of it, every day you're studying the word of God. If you do that, it will be, John says, impossible for you to keep on sinning. Doesn't mean that you're never, ever going to sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but you won't make a practice of sinning as long as that seed is in you. There's one thing I know. Whenever anybody falls away and leaves the faith, at some point in time, that seed stopped dwelling in his or her heart. Because it's impossible to keep on practicing sin as long as the word is in your heart. And so the only way that can happen is by studying. Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." I know that's the old King James Version and probably not the best translation there. But it does tell us how it is that we can do our best to be approved of God by studying his word. Why? Because Romans 10 at verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the more you study, the more faith that you have, the stronger you will be, and it will keep you from practicing sin. And so it will stop you from falling. And so you need to make a habit of studying God's word. And then number two, you need to pray. And just like studying the word of God, you need to pray on a regular basis. Once again, daily. It ought to be one of the first things you do when you get up in the morning. The last thing you do when you go to bed at night. And you can pray anytime, anywhere, if you're a child of God. It's one of the great blessings that we have, being able to approach God's throne in prayer. But what a wonderful practice to start your day off with God. In fact, you can just go ahead and combine those two things and study and pray. Whenever it is, again, you can do that in the morning. Say, "Well, I have to go to work." Well, you can get up a little bit early if you can do that. Or you can do it when you get home from work or you get home from school before you go to bed. You can study and pray. But put that time aside. And it's not as easy as it sounds because, again, everyone's busy. Everybody has a full schedule. But I'm telling you, if you're a babe in Christ, the sooner you make a habit of every single day studying God's word and approaching God's throne in prayer, it will be that much harder for the devil to overtake you. He's going to be trying. He's never going to quit. One thing we can't say about the devil is that he's lazy. No, he's not that. He is constantly walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he targets all of us who are Christians. Because no matter how many years go by, he still wants to win us back. So he's turned up the heat on babes in Christ. He wants to get them back sooner than later. But he doesn't forget about any of us. So all of us need to be studying and need to be praying all the time. I remember in the passage we just alluded to this morning when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you recall again, he came back and found his disciples sleeping. And what did Jesus say? He told them to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Prayer is a powerful, powerful tool. We're never closer to God than when we're praying to Him. And again, having that prayer room, figuratively speaking, that prayer closet that Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount, putting some time aside away from family, away from all distractions, no TV going, no radio playing, just in a solitary place, just you and God. And you're pouring out your heart in prayer to Him. That will make you stronger. That will help you grow in Christ, and it will protect you from the assaults of the devil. One of the things I always tell the men in the men's training class, this is for those who are a little bit shy and afraid to pray publicly. We talk about the term ACTS. And all that is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And it's meant, again, for brethren who are just now starting to lead publicly. And, you know, that's a scary thing. And you get up to pray, and sometimes you're nervous, and your mind can go blank. And all you have to do is think ACTS. And then you can implement one of those things. You can either just pray those different types of prayer, or because you're nervous, all you have to do is think ACTS and think, oh, the T, thanksgiving, and start thanking God. And so you're back going again. But while I say that to the men in the men's training class, the fact of the matter is that's a wonderful prayer. That's wonderful time spent in prayer. If every single morning you'll go to God in prayer, and you'll pray a prayer of adoration. You'll praise God for who He is and all that He has done. I think you can spend a few moments doing that, couldn't you? And then you confess your sins to God, and you ask Him to forgive you of any sins that you might have committed. This is a wonderful thing for children of God. We have something that no one else on the face of the earth has. We have that access to God. And when we sin, we can ask Him for forgiveness. And upon our repentance, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's the power of the blood of Christ. Remember 1 John chapter 1 and at verse 7, he talks about that blood cleansing us. That doesn't just happen in the waters of baptism alone. It's an ongoing power that we can tap into as God's children. It's a blessing, and we should take advantage of that. But every day, whenever it is that you decide, I'm going to put this time aside to study and then pray. And in that prayer, you praise God. You confess your sins. You thank God for what He has done for you. You think you can spend a moment or two doing that? It's time well spent, isn't it? And then you pray prayers of supplication. And you think about the other saints. You pray for the church. You pray for individual members of the Brown Street Church or other Christians you know in other places. And that's a healthy prayer. And you do that every single day of your life. And the chances of the devil overtaking you and winning you back to the world, very slim. Study and pray. And the third thing is, make a habit of coming to every single service that your local church has. I'm not going to harp on it from the standpoint that it's sin if you don't or anything like that. We preach on that all the time. I'm just talking about something that can keep you strong. You come to every service. You make I always tell people who just obey the gospel, the sooner you make a habit of attending every service, the stronger you will be. It is no coincidence that those who are weak among us don't attend every service. Like, you stop and think about that. And this is true. Now, it's not always true that just because you attend every service, you're real strong. But it is always true. The weak are sporadic in their attendance. It is one of the signs of their weakness. And so you make up your mind. Now, what do? When we come together, we worship God in spirit and truth. We sing and we pray on the Lord's Day. Of course, we observe the Lord's Supper and we lay by in store. We study God's Word. What about all of those things will make you stronger in the faith? I said a while ago, you're never closer to God than when you approach God's throne in prayer, except for maybe one time. And that is when you come together with other Christians and worship God with those of like precious faith. And, of course, that does involve praying on a few times every time we do it. But again, doing other things that are spiritual in nature, and that will keep you strong. But you have to make a habit of it. And you just have to realize how important it is. Yes, it is a part of faithfulness. But we don't want to get to the point when we're attending services just because it's commanded. That's a problem, it seems to me. We have to do it because we know the benefits of it. We have to do it because we want to. We want to worship God. We want to give Him praise and honor for everything that He has done for us. And it will make you stronger. It's in your best interest. When we have a gospel meeting starting next week, you come to every service. I know things sometimes get in the way. Some of you have to work, or you don't know. I hope it doesn't happen, but you might get sick next week and not able to come. But outside of those kind of things happening, you're already determining right now that you're going to come to every service. Don't be like those who already have determined that they're not. You don't want to do that. You determine right now. Next week is a wonderful opportunity. You talk about growing in faith. What a blessing it is to be able to, for an entire week, to come together again with those of like precious faith and worship God and sing and pray and study and do those things. It will make you stronger. But do that for the rest of your life. Determine right now. You are going to study and pray every day. And every time there's a service, you're going to attend. And you're going to be fed spiritually at that time, and you're going to grow in the faith. And you know what will happen? The devil will try, and he'll try, and he'll try. One thing the devil is not going to do, not only is he not lazy, but he doesn't quit. And so he's going to come after you and continue to come after you. But he won't have his way with you if you're studying and praying and attending like you should. You'll never fall. It's the key. Very simple stuff. Nothing complicated about any of that. And it is something that all of us, not just babes in Christ, but seasoned saints as well, we should all be doing that. Making God, what all of that is doing is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Making God a real, important, and central part of our daily lives. And if we do that, we'll never fall. I always say, God has made obeying the gospel easy. It's staying a Christian that's a challenge. But you can do it. There's passages, Jude 1, verse 24, I believe it is, where Jude emphasizes that we never have to fall. Peter talks about God putting a hedge around us, guarding us, keeping us, watching over us, keeping us safe. All we have to do is cooperate by doing our part, doing the things that will help us remain strong. I hope that we'll all implement that, make application of that to our lives. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not tonight? Really, what are you waiting for? I can guarantee you, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, there'll never be a better time. Maybe you'll have another opportunity, but we can't even be sure about that. But maybe you will, but it won't be any better of a time than right now. Tonight should be the night that you put on Christ in the waters of baptism, that you turn away from Satan and sin, and you allow God to break the bondage of sin in your life, set you free so you can become a new creature in Christ. You can do that tonight. Repent and be baptized. That's what Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. They asked what they had to do. Well, he told them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nearly 2,000 years later, nothing has changed. You want to obey the gospel? You want to be a child of God? You want to be set free from sin? Repent and be baptized. You can do it tonight, and I hope you will. Come forward as we together stand and sing.